Hello there. I want to invite you to the new episode of my podcast. Today, my guest is Sir David Milik, the co-creator and designer for Heroes of Might and Magic 3. Since the whole video is in English language, I've added some Polish subtitles to my Polish viewers, since my channel is mainly Polish. What can I say? David and I talk about the life of a game designer, about the games he's created, about the project he's still working on, and if that stuff seems interesting for you, like, you know, a conversation with one of the fathers of strategic games, feel free to join me and listen to the whole conversation. If you like it, you may consider leaving a subscription or at least a thumbs up. Thanks. My name is Alexander Inglot, and this is Let's Talk.
Okay, so I am very happy to welcome you at my podcast. That is, its name is Let's Talk, as you probably know because I told you, and Pogadajmy in Polish. Mr. Milik, I'm here with you today to talk about a life of a great game designer and game developer. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. Please call me David.
Okay, David. So please call me Alex.
All right, Alex.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm delighted to be here. I'm happy to be on your podcast.
I am very honored to meet you today because, as you may probably know, you're a big part of my childhood by the games you've created. So, like, I am really honored. You're a hero of my early childhood.
Well, thank you. I don't know what to say to that.
Okay, so, yeah.
No, just that as a game designer, It's always my hope that I'm going to give people great experiences. So I'm glad I had some influence on your childhood.
Of course, you've made many wonderful memories. But before we talk about that, because I think we will touch that subject today, you're a game designer and game developer. But as far as I'm concerned, you're also a professor, right?
I am. I teach game design at the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, California.
Oh, and how is it like to be a teacher?
I love being a teacher. It helps me become a better game designer because it forces me to really think about what makes for a good game design. And I also talking to younger students. You know, as a game designer, it's my job to make everyone to provide fun and engaging experiences for people, and so it's nice to be able to do that in a classroom. At least try
it. You've got your students asking you for autographs or something like that?
No, they're I'm not as popular in the United States as I am elsewhere in the world. So. None of them have ever asked me for autographs.
Okay, I get it. So how is it like for you? Let's touch normal everyday things, everyday, I guess, and normal. How is it like to work during a pandemic?
It's difficult. You know, the pandemic is difficult for everyone just because of all the uncertainty and the fear and the fact that we're in some ways cut off from each other. And so it's you know, just about everything in life, it adds that tension to it. But it's especially difficult because, you know, games these days are made by teams and my team is working remotely. So I don't get to see them face to face. I mean, we usually communicate. We use Slack for text communications or we may use Google Meets for video communications, but it's not quite the same as being in the same room with someone without a mask on. Because so much of communication is done through facial expressions and your mannerisms and such. And even though when we're dealing with like through this podcast, you can see my face, you can see my expressions, but there's this whole body language that's so such an important part of communications that I can't do when talking to other people.
Yeah, of course. So it's basically what you're saying is that even though you're really working with computers and stuff, it is really important for you to be in the same office even, right?
Being in the same office adds a extra element of both communication as well as camaraderie with the entire team. And it's very, we have daily stand-ups where the entire team gets together in the mornings and talk about what they did the previous day and what they're planning to do that day. But but that's only for a short time. It's not like we go out to lunch together or it's difficult to have brainstorming sessions to toss around ideas. So yeah, it does make it a little bit more difficult just having to work in a pandemic.
So do you think it's gonna influence the game developing world in a bad way?
You know, it's gonna give more options, whereas it does make it, I think, a little bit harder to have a team experience. On the other hand, I think it also, a lot of companies have learned that it is possible to still be productive while working remotely. People in management, they're afraid that if people work remotely, that they're not going to be productive and they're going to spend time goofing off. I found that even though there are some drawbacks to it, I do find that my team is very productive and still working hard on their assignments. And so I'm sure other companies find the same thing, so they may actually be more willing to let some people work from
home.
Are you able to tell
me what the thing you're working on right now?
Sure. I am working on a virtual world called Cinema World, and it focuses on art, fashion.
Excuse me. Could you spell that? Because I need to add subtitles later on.
Cinema World is spelled CinemoWorld. We work for a sister company to a TV channel called Cinemoi.
I get it.
Operates in both the United States and in Europe. And we're putting together a virtual world in which focuses on art, fashion, music, and shopping.
Sounds really demanding, isn't it?
Well, it is. You visit real world virtual versions of real cities like New York and Paris and London, and in each of those cities, you're play an avatar and you go around and you explore the city, and you can go into theaters and watch movies that are streamed through the platform.
So you're like Google Maps, but more.
Like Google Maps, but even more. You can go and buy into stores like Adolfo Sanchez and Louis Vuitton, and buy virtual clothing for your avatar, but also real clothing that you can have shipped to your home. And
that's amazing.
Go into museums and get narrated tours of artwork, and so it's the entire virtual experience all about culture and commerce. And there's also there's a story component to it, of course, entertainment component, in which you can interact with non-player characters who will send you on various missions.
So basically what you're doing is like making people more excuses not to get out of their homes.
Well, yes. Well, I'd like to think it more of gives them opportunities to visit places and have a taste of a lifestyle that they can't normally get
Okay, I get
in
it.
real life.
So sounds like fun, and I think I'm looking forward to try it, even though I'm not that familiar in the United States suburban areas. But let's just cut the pandemic and normal day lifestyles subjects, because all in all, having this conversation with you particularly, it is impossible not to mention the Heroes and Might and Magic universe.
Heroes of Might Magic, like right over there, box
Yeah,
on my shelf.
I guess so. That one, I might be mistaken, but correct me if I'm wrong, but you are the creator of the one of the creators of the Heroes of Might and Magic universe, right?
In a very small way, because the Heroes of Might Magic universe was really created by John Van Cannaham, who was the co-founder of New World Computing. And the games that I worked on, I've had designers work with me. Greg Fulton was the lead designer of Heroes of Might and Magic 3, and both Gus Smedstad and Jennifer Bullard were the designers of Heroes of Might and Magic 4.
Yeah, okay. Let me ask you a question. Might be kind of rude, I'm sorry, but many people actually consider the Heroes of Might and Magic series to be your biggest achievement in game dev industry.
Some
How do
people
you feel
do.
about that? Yeah, some people do actually.
It's certainly an achievement I'm very proud of, and probably my most popular game. It's certainly I'm amazed with how many people still play it 20 years later. And it's the most fun game I've ever worked on. It's the only game I've ever made where I played it after I was done making it. So I am proud of that. But other people have known me for might say my best game was The Prisoner, which was my very first
Yeah,
big selling games
that's the
or
one on Polish Wikipedia page about you.
okay or I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream, which I did with Harlan Ellison, or DuckTales, which I did at Disney, or Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines that I did at Activision.
Yeah,
Those are my top games of all time, and different people would
Vampire the
say.
Masquerade is the, I think, the series I am truly craving of getting the next chapter.
Ah.
Yeah, it's like there has passed some time. I've played that last time, but it was truly the game. Tell me, getting back to Might and Magic series, I am sorry, I'm kind of repetitive about that subject, but I need to ask, how do you perceive the way the series went?
Well, I'm very glad that Ubisoft was able to carry on the series after the 3DO company went out of business. So I'm glad they've supported it and made many more in the series, and even branched out into mobile. And they even went back and they remastered Heroes of Might and Magic 3. So I'm very, very greatly appreciated of them that they've continued with it and supported it for
So,
so long.
but actually, they've remastered the Heroes of Might and Magic 3 in HD version, if I remember correctly. But isn't that something that the modders done better?
I am very impressed with what the modders have done. Some of the mods for my Magic 3 are just incredible. They've really put in a lot of passion and talent and artistry into what they've done. So yeah, they've done a great job.
Yes, speaking of passion, How do you feel about these times creating the game, that spectacular game, never coming back? Because it's not gonna ever come back, and we both know that it was 20 years ago, and it's like a sweet memory, but or sour, I am not sure. And I am asking you, how do you feel about these times being actually gone?
Well, there's, I'm very proud of my past accomplishments, and I'm touched and surprised with how remembered it is today. So, Heroes of Might and Magic 3 isn't gone as long as people are still playing it. But I'm also always looking forward, and I'm always looking for the next thing. So I don't worry about the past being in the past. I'm more looking at, more excited about what's happening in the future.
Okay, so let's talk about what's going on in the future. Do you think that the series has any future, or it's like this song of the past times?
Well, I hope it's still going to be in the future. I will tell you that Greg Fulton, the designer of Heroes of Might and Magic 3, is working right now on what he calls a spiritual successor to the game. And he's developing that right now. And it's something that that I'm very excited about, and I'm hoping that through it will live on in spirit. It's still in the early stages of development,
Okay.
and I think he's but he already has a newsletter
Oh,
out for it that you can
could you send me
subscribe to.
the link later on?
Yeah, I will send you the link for it. But yeah, you can go and sign up for anyone listening to this can sign up for the newsletter and find out about its progress.
Yeah, hearing about the Succeeder of Heroes of Might and Magic series is really, really amusing for me. I must admit, because I personally have never thought of these times of joy coming back. Like,
Well,
in my opinion, if I may actually speak it out loudly, these types of games. I think their time has passed. They are not as popular as they used to be.
you never know. You never know what the future's going to bring and what people are, what's going to, sometimes things that have lost popularity will come back into popularity again.
Like in the fashion.
Like in fashion, sure. I wouldn't. I wouldn't give up on things ever. In some ways, being like that. Things will never be exactly like they were in the past. But things in the future can take inspiration from what's in the past. And there will be things that, new games coming out. Or reimaginings of old games that people find popular.
Okay, I get it. But do you like speaking about the fan base of the all f from the world? It is hard not to mention the so-called fan base war. Are you aware of it?
The
Like
fan base
the
war.
yeah, there's one going on for like 10 years, I guess, because there are. People who call themselves a true fans of the Heroes of Might and Magic that only accept the 3D version of Heroes of Might and Magic 5, and there are opponents who state that the Heroes 3 was the one and only. And are you aware actually of that war?
I hadn't heard about that one, but I can tell you I hate the whole idea of saying you're only a true fan of something if you like this or you believe that or you hate this part. That's something that we call in the United States, we call that gatekeeping, where some people decide, yes, you're a true fan and you're not. I don't like that at all. You're a fan if you like something or if you like some version of something. You're just as much of a fan as you are if you like a different version of it.
So you are not standing on any of the sides in that
no,
war,
I,
so
I
called.
don't. I don't think there should be sides. It's
Okay.
perfectly fine to like one thing and not like another.
I understand.
I don't believe in the concept of being a true fan of anything. You're a fan
Okay,
if you like it
I get it.
some part of it.
So, talking with you about the fan base, like, it is hard not to mention, I am sorry for my maybe a big words, but it is hard not to mention Polish fans here. I am aware that you've been doing some Ask Me Anything some time ago with Polish fans. Do you think that was a great time?
You know, and yeah, I love talking with fans and I like answering their questions. So yeah, it's always great. And you know, especially nice to talk to Polish fans. My wife's family comes from Poland.
Oh.
So that caused me to have a special affinity for Poland.
Do you actually know from which part of the Poland?
No, unfortunately I don't.
Okay, so backing on, you've mentioned on the Ask Me Anything that someday maybe you'll come to Poland. Is it still
I
gonna
hope
happen?
To. I hope
Okay.
to. I'm looking forward to traveling again once this pandemic is over, and that's certainly a part of the world I'd love to visit.
I'm actually curious, what have you heard about Poland and the Polish people?
Oh, I've heard that the Polish people are really wonderful, nice people, and the countryside is beautiful, and I certainly enjoy eating Polish food. In fact, I had some kielbasa last night for dinner.
Oh, so have you got your favorite Polish meal? Besides kielbasa?
Oh, that probably is my favorite.
Okay, I get it. So, talking about Poland and gaming, have you tried Cyberpunk 2077 yet?
I haven't tried it yet. Some of my team members have. And of course, I'm familiar with all the controversy surrounding it and some of the problems people have had with it.
What do you think about these controversies? Are they justified or no?
Well, you know, making games is a very difficult process, especially games are getting more and more complex and more expensive to make. And sometimes, you know, so it takes longer and longer to make a game and find all of its problems and isolate all of its problems. And unfortunately, sometimes your management, the people in charge of the companies, really want you to get a game out before it's ready, you know, because they're eager to start selling it. So it's really not that uncommon to release a game really before all the bugs are ironed out. I've certainly done that in the past. We released Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. I would have liked to have had a couple more weeks working on it before we released it. But I understand on Cyberpunk, they did eventually to fix a lot of the worst problems on it in after release.
Yeah,
so
actually, fun fact, I guess, the day we talk, at least in Poland, I am not aware of your time zone, I am so sorry, but today the CD Projekt Red released a 20 gigabytes of a patch to the Cyberpunk, as I am concerned. So maybe it's gonna work better.
I'm hopeful it will. My team members who played the game say that it is working a lot better.
And do they say that it's a good game or a bad game or
Yes.
maybe a
Yes.
game of the year?
Once the problems are fixed, it's actually a pretty good game.
Okay, so I hope you're gonna try that too at some point.
Me too. Me too.
Okay, but making games or like developing games. What I wanted to say is like when you work on making games, do you actually still feel joy playing them later on?
It's I certainly enjoy playing other people's games. When I have time to do it, I don't, I don't have as much time for playing games as I did when I was much younger. But when I do play games, I do enjoy it a lot. It's just very hard for me to play and enjoy games that I've worked on, because I'm so familiar with all the problems with the game before it's ready to go.
I get it. So, do you've got your favorite positions?
My favorite positions? As
Yeah,
in my.
like favorite games. Well, I
Oh
meant,
yes,
of
I. Oh
course.
yeah, yeah. My favorite game series is the Civilization series,
Oh.
because I really like strategy games, turn-based strategy games,
Yes.
and I also for a long time I played World of Warcraft, because I also like role-playing games. I like the XCOM series.
Which class have you played in World of Warcraft?
Which class? Oh,
Yes.
I usually I like playing the dwarf with the blunderbuss.
Oh, I
But
get it.
yeah. Yeah, I like
I
that
am
a
more of
lot.
a I am more of a mage player, so
Okay.
I was just curious to ask.
And no, just in general, I like playing different. I like a lot of puzzle games. So a lot of the games that I play are these days are more casual games, because I often only have a few minutes here and there to play a game. So
So you don't play
I play
online
shorter
games,
games.
I assume, right?
What's that?
You don't play online games, I assume.
Well, that's not true. I occasionally play online games. In fact, with my team, every Friday we get together in the afternoon for to play games together, and we will play a lot of online party games together as kind of a
Oh,
team building exercise.
it's wonderful to have such a team that you can hang out after the work, and it's actually not tiring experiment.
Oh yeah, they're my teams are all great people, so they're very fun to hang around with.
So you might say you're lucky you have them, right?
I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky for all the people I've worked with.
Tell me. What's your biggest gaming dream as a game designer and developer?
Biggest dream. I've always. You know what? What got me into game development in the first place was I took in college. I took a computer science class just to fulfill my general education requirements. And one day, while I was waiting to use the computer lab printer, I started coding a Star Trek game based upon the Star Trek television series, and that's what got me all excited about the idea of using computers for entertainment and for storytelling. And that's when I decided to major in computer science. So I've always wanted to make a real Star Trek game. I had a chance to work on one while I was at Activision. But unfortunately, Star Trek wasn't doing that well in either on television or in the movies at the time.
Yeah, it
And
kind of
so,
lost the battle with the Star Wars, right?
yeah, and so at Activision canceled the Star Trek contract before I could finish my game. So I always wanted to do a Star Trek game. I always also wanted to work on a Lord of the Rings game. Couple of times I came close, but not quite. I always and another thing that I always wanted to work on was a game about terrorism and dealing with terrorist threats.
Not like in Battlefield series.
Something that's a little bit more about what the causes of terrorism are and the
So
different
psychologic
ideas.
game.
Yeah, much more psychological than purely a sort of a purely a combat game.
Sounds interesting.
So I would have liked to have done that, and a couple of times in the past where I proposed doing it, the people I was pitching it to said nobody's interested in terrorisms and terrorism. And then a couple of years later, there's some big terrorist incident where suddenly it's all in the news again. So I've never been able to get my timing right when I've tried to pitch it.
Maybe we'll get a chance someday. Who knows?
Maybe. You never know. You never know. I'm gonna keep making games for as long as I can. So I don't know what opportunities I'll have in the future.
We truly hope for that. Tell me, is there any gaming premiere that you're waiting actually for in the upcoming year or two?
Oh, nothing in particular that I'm looking for, waiting for. Most games I see these days, they sound so similar to other games that have already been made. They tend to be more sequels and such. Usually, I get excited about indie games that I hear about when I go to conferences like Indiecade and E3. But I haven't attended any conferences, obviously this year. So I haven't heard much about what indie games are being in development. So I haven't had a chance to get excited about anything recently.
So you're like kind of a person that states that FIFA 14 and FIFA 20 are the same game, right?
They're too similar with each other, so it doesn't excite me. I get excited by something that's different.
Okay, I get it. I get it. That's actually not surprising at all, looking at your creativity at work. I can see it bores you. Okay, so David, tell me, you've graduated from college, as far as I know.
Yes.
Do you think that it's profitable to go to college? Do you recommend that to young people that want to succeed in life and have fully fulfilled their dreams?
You know, it's tough. I did. Yeah, I am a college graduate, and I teach in college. But you know, the problem is college in the United States. College is very, very expensive. It wasn't expensive when I went to college, but it is a very expensive now. And I'm kind of I'm not sure of what I think of the college experience anymore because it is so expensive. For some people, they learn best in a classroom setting. I know I do. I learn much better when I have a teacher, instructor to talk to me than when learning on my own. But other people learn great on their own. Certainly, there are a lot of self-taught game developers out there who picked up everything on their own without having had to go to college.
So tell me, what makes a person of success?
What makes a person as well? It all depends on how you define success, I guess. I would say what makes a person a success is if they feel a sense of accomplishment for themselves. And they are satisfied with their life. that they're more than just happy, that they feel fulfilled, then I say they're successful.
So
it's different for each person.
But I think there might be some recipe how to achieve that.
Oh, you do?
Mm,
well, tell me, what do you think the recipe is?
I think hard work and one can never stop building.
How do you become successful?
Yeah,
that's what
I
you're
guess.
Saying. All
Yeah,
right.
I think.
All right.
I think one should never stop believing in what they actually want to do.
All right. Well, you know what? I was answering a different question.
Okay. Sorry, I mispronounced.
So the question. No, that's quite all right. So recipe for one is a couple of things you do need to be successful is that you need to have a clear idea of who you are as a person, and what your strengths and weaknesses are, and what it is that would fulfill you personally. What is it that you would feel, what accomplishments would you make that would make you feel really good about yourself, that you would be really proud of? And then figuring out what strengths and weaknesses you have that will help you achieve those goals, and where you have weaknesses, figuring out what's the best way for you to learn to overcome those weaknesses. In a lot of cases, it's hard to achieve success without depending on other people. So it's a very important skill to be able to get along with other people and learn how to persuade them and motivate them into helping you out and working together.
So basically what you're saying that even though you can work really hard, it is sometimes impossible to achieve success without other people.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. In most cases, I say it's hard to achieve success without other people.
Okay. So thank you for that answer. I think it can be really... what I wanted to say is like this might inspire many people actually who see you as a wisdom expert. But let me kind of change the course of our conversation.
Sure.
David, do you have any tattoos?
I don't have any tattoos, no.
If you had to make yourself one, what would it be?
Oh, that's a great question. No one's ever asked me that before. What kind of tattoo would I get? You know what? Maybe I'd get a Heroes 3 tattoo. You know, it might be nice. It would be nice to have a tattoo of some of the symbols or the logos from some of the games I've worked on.
Okay,
so,
I get it.
Yeah, all right. That's the first thing I thought of. Heroes 3. I'd get a Heroes
okay.
3 tattoo. Just that title.
Maybe Black Dragon
like,
on
right
the back.
On my arm. Yeah. Maybe a dragon. Sure, maybe a dragon. Maybe a tattoo of Sir Mullock.
Oh,
with the hat.
With a hat. And
yes, maybe that.
I am aware that you don't have that hat anymore, right?
No, it never was my hat. It was something I borrowed from an artist who worked at New World Computing just for one photo shoot.
Actually, talking about the dragons, I've reminded myself of a, I think, primitive jokes about Polish version of Heroes 3. I am not sure if you're aware of that, but in original Heroes 3 Restoration of Erafia, the Titans had the perks to have more attack versus Black Dragons, right?
Okay.
And it was explained like as the genies and ifrits, they hate each other, that the same way works between the Titans and Black Dragons. And in the
right.
Polish version, and in the Polish version, Polish translation, The dragon part has been cut. And there is a inside joke between Polish fanbase that the Titans are racist because it was literally spelled that Titans hate black. And it was in the game for like some time before the another DLC and the mothers, of course.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, I'm sad to hear that. No, I don't want any racism in my games.
No, I am aware that is a really bad process. And like, I remember when I was signing up for the group of the fans, and in the entrance, I was asked a question, why are Titans racist? And I was like, what are you talking about? And then I realized that, yeah, there was that thing.
Oh my goodness. No, Titans are not racist. They are not. They just hate black dragons.
Okay, they had to hate someone, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They had to have an arch enemy, so that's dragons were their enemies. Evil dragons were their enemies.
Okay, so David, tell me, how do you think, where would you be if there weren't video games in your life?
Oh, I'd probably be a filmmaker. I would
Oh.
like to make movies.
But indie movies or like the blockbusters one?
What was that?
Like indie movies for small cinemas or the blockbusters?
Oh, indies are blockbusters. I would have probably wanted to make blockbusters. Now, at the time, when I was going to college and I was interested in filmmaking, I love science fiction and fantasy, but at the time those types of films weren't the blockbusters they were today. So I'd probably want to be making science fiction and fantasy movies, and it would just coincidentally turn out that they would become blockbusters. At least I hope if my movies were successful.
I get it. So like the Marvel ones or something completely different?
Oh, I wouldn't mind making movies like Marvel movies. I would actually. When I was growing up, I was more of a fan of DC comics, like Batman and Superman and Flash and Green Lantern. So I would have liked to
The
make.
original League of Justice.
Yeah, League of Justice League. Yeah, I would have liked to have made a good Justice League movie.
Oh, so you state that there wasn't any good Justice League movie yet?
Not yet. Nope. Not
No,
yet.
are you
Still waiting
looking
for
forward
one.
for the so-called Snyder's Cut?
Oh yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested in seeing what he does with it. I haven't really liked his other movies very much. Zack Snyder's other movies. But I'm curious to see how Zack Snyder's original vision for Justice League is going to be different from what Joss Whedon did. So it'd be very
Okay.
interesting to compare the two. I'm sure it'll be
So,
different. I'm not sure it'll be better.
okay, longer doesn't mean it's better, right?
Longer definitely doesn't mean better.
Okay, so do you've got your favorite superhero?
My favorite superhero when I was growing up was Green Lantern.
Okay.
Was a terrible movie, but as a superhero, I like Green Lantern because I liked the imagination into the different constructs he made with his ring. I thought
Okay.
that was great. It was like Green Lantern was like an artist in a way. What he had to do to think of for using his ring for. So he was very
Okay.
creative. So that's what I liked. He
So
was a creative superhero.
let's not make Ryan Reynolds sad right now and just
No,
cause
we'll keep Ryan Reynolds working on Deadpool, but we'll see who the next Green Lanterns are going to be.
okay, we'll see. David told me while we're going through all the types of actually relaxing, like video games or movies, tell me, What kind of music do you actually enjoy? Is it the Heroes 3 music, which I'll probably add later on in, during the montage?
Oh, the Heroes music is great. Yeah, I love all the Heroes music. Everything that Paul worked on for that is just terrific, as well as all the other music that have been created for Heroes. I do like listening to movie soundtracks. I like classical music, and I also like music from the 1960s.
1960s, for
Yeah, so
example.
I like some of the later Beatles music, and I like Simon and Garfunkel, and other music from that era.
Okay, so I guess with the famous Beatles quote, I guess we'll say, "Let it be," and I
Let it be,
am.
yeah.
Let it be, and I am very delighted to have you as my guest today. And I hope this wasn't the wasted time to talk with me about
Not at all.
some.
You asked me some questions I haven't been asked before. So I'm very grateful you did that.
Okay, but let me just ask you for one thing. Is there any question you actually hate to hear in the
No. No, I don't hate any question.
What I
You know
wanted
what?
to say
Oh,
is like.
I'll tell you one. I'll tell you one. When people ask me, how do I feel about the lives Heroes of Magic 3 has destroyed, because people would drop out of college because they or did bad in college because they spent all their time playing Heroes 3. That's the only question I don't like.
But it kind of is the life of a game designer. Like, you need to live with the knowledge that maybe someone gets too addicted, right?
Well, you know what? I think people need to take responsibility and not overdo gaming. And maybe part of the responsibility of a game designer is to remind everyone that there are other things in life. If it's I like making games because I like to bring in experiences that I've learned from elsewhere, or things that I've learned from outside of gaming, and bring those into my game. I think it's very important to lead a very full life that includes a lot of different elements. It's important to learn about new things, to go out and travel, to have lots of hobbies, to have friends and family. That's all as important as gaming is. So you shouldn't spend your entire life gaming. You should be doing all these other things in addition to gaming to be a well-rounded person.
Okay, so with these wise words, I leave you people who listen and watch that video today. And I once again am grateful for you to be here with me. And I hope someday we will maybe meet in person.
I'm counting on it. I'm gonna do my best to make a visit to Poland
Maybe
sometime in
I'll
the
visit
future.
USA someday.
I hope you have a chance to. I think traveling is very important for everyone, and I'll be glad when the pandemic is over and we can all travel again.
Okay, so thank you and goodbye, David.
All right, thank you.